Right, let's have a look at capital taxation in respect of land and property. Of course, the two mighty capital taxes, CGT and IHT. And I just want to pick out a couple of points which I think are relevant. And remember, the two of them often interplay. And we need to be clear when we're advising clients and when we're involved with these issues as to where these interplays actually occur. Let's start off with something simple. Let's start off with some CGT. And let's say that we're giving a property away in life. Now, CGT, of course, arises on that magic word disposal. Unless it's an exempt disposal, and property will not be exempt. So, if I get rid of a property, I have got a disposal for CGT purposes. The one that, of course, gets the clients all upset is on gifts. Because if you gift a property, that is still a disposal. And in virtually all cases, that's going to be valued on a market value basis. The only time when you can avoid that, of course, is on a spousal or civil partner gift. So, a lifetime gift of property, say a domestic property out of a portfolio, or even a home, will be subject to CGT. I'll talk about the IHT implications of that in just a second, but let's still major on the CGT. If it's a home that you've just get rid of, supposing mum's given her home to, say, her daughter, then it's likely that the gain will be covered by the Principal Private Residence Relief, the PPR. Now, the PPR is a mighty beast indeed from very few sections in the Taxation of Chargeable Gains Act, but we do need to be clear about its broad shape. We often get asked, for example, about whether we can shelter gains on buy-to-lets. And my standard answer is that it's possible, but the key word is that you've got to establish your buy-to-let at some stage as a residence. That's a key word there, because a buy-to-let is not a residence unless you start to live in it. And even then, if you start to live in it for a while to try and get some of your eventual gains sheltered, then it's not just got to be a residence, it's got to be nominated, that's a key word, as your principal private residence. So we do need to be very careful indeed about advising in this sensitive area. PPR also has issues in respect of things like selling the garden off, and there are timing issues to be considered on that, and we will no doubt cover that in some detail in a future podcast. The reason, of course, is to try and get a buy-to-let nominated as a principal private residence is that any period of actual occupation in a principal private residence will mean that your last 3 years will be tax-free. So, in effect, some of the gain, if any, will disappear. And that's pretty good news. So, we've got CGT on disposals, even if it's by way of a gift. And remember, that's pretty unpopular and often overlooked by the clients. But let's also think about the IHT angle on gifting property. Gifting in a donor's lifetime, let's consider it as a lifetime gift. Now, the principal rule here is that that is a PET. That's a potentially exempt transfer. Let's just stop the clock here and remind ourselves that for IHT purposes, there are three sorts of gifts. There are gifts that are totally exempt. There are gifts that are potentially exempt. And we got one of those here. And it's only fully exempt if the donor survives 7 years. And there are other sets of gifts, principally movements of assets into trusts, which are chargeable now. They're referred to as chargeable lifetime transfers. Okay, so we're going to give a property away. And the essential information is that because that is a PET, there is no lifetime tax due. But if the donor dies within 7 years of the gift, then the seven-year accumulator, as it were, locks down. And on death, you're going to have potential liabilities. Now, any liability that does arise on a PET will sadly be paid by the donee. That's the person who received the gift. And they need to be warned about that. And there are a couple of ways to alleviate that. The first is through the taper relief provisions in the IHT Act. So the longer the donor has survived within that 7 years, the less tax the donee has to pay. And there's a sliding scale in there. And the other way of covering it is by way of an insurance policy. Okay, so we need to think about that. And the other point, of course, is that on death, the nil rate band that's available, and that's currently £325,000, not only covers what's in the death estate, it also covers all these gifts in the previous 7 years. So that little bit of butter at £325,000 has potentially got to be spread over a lot of bread. Okay, that's a bit on lifetime gifts, but let's just make the contrast and talk about death gifts. If property is left in the will, then it's clearly going to be part of the death estate, and normal death estate rules apply, with the nil rate band, which we've just said is £325,000, to cover things in the death estate, and of course, importantly, all gifts within 7 years. Now, sometimes it's better to leave things till death, even though you might think, well, actually, why don't we all die penniless? It'll beat the tax man. No one's going to have to pay any tax. I'll give it all away in lifetime and hope I survive for 7 years. Well, oddly, in some circumstances, it's better to wait. Give you a quick example. If you're a farmer and you're looking to have your son come into the business, you could gift him the farm in lifetime, and of course a lifetime gift, and indeed a death gift of APR, is covered by the agricultural property relief, which is largely at 100%, so that's pretty good. Now here's the point. If you gave the farm to the son at your death, then there's no CGT, remember, because you don't have CGT on death. And there's only IHT to worry about. So you get no CGT, IHT liability covered by agricultural property relief. And that's 100%. So through leaving it in the will, you can get it down to the next generation, in effect, tax-free. By way of contrast, if you actually give it as a lifetime gift, yes, you will get the APR, but you will have a CGT problem. Because you are going to have, and there's that magic word again, a disposal. So there is a distinction between saving IHT and saving tax. So in some circumstances, it's actually better to wait until you're dead.